Hello, everyone, and welcome to Unyielded, Thriving No Matter What. I'm your host, Bobby Kaler, and I'm so happy that you've joined us. Part of what drives my coaching career, and by extension this podcast, is to provide hope, knowledge, and assurance that we can all be more fulfilled and successful if we choose. I believe that there is tremendous power in choice. We are confronted with choices from the time we wake up in the morning until the time our heads hit the pillow at the end of the day. Will I choose to believe in possibilities for myself? Or will I choose to believe in my limitations? Will I choose courage? Or will I choose fear? Will I choose to listen to those who believe in me? Or will I choose to listen to those who doubt me and tell me that I'm not good enough? Will I choose to do the work that I know that I need to do in order to move towards my desired future? And will I choose that consistently, every day, not just once or not just for a couple of weeks, but every day for the long haul? I spent about 10 years of my life recovering from an illness that one doctor said I only had a 3% chance of recovering. And here's what I learned. I had to choose possibilities. Even when I wasn't even fully sure of what those could be, I had to choose courage. I had to choose to listen to those who believed that I would recover. And I had to do the tedious, grinding work that, at the beginning, seemed so bleak and so far away from any sort of desirable future. But I knew one truth. If I did nothing, nothing would change. And at least I was going to give myself a chance at a desirable future. This podcast was created to help you make the choices that will propel you towards your desired future. So what are we waiting for? Let's get to this week's episode. My guest today is the host of the Time to Shine Today podcast. His mission is to not have anyone feel like they have no one. And as you'll hear in this interview, there's a very personal reason for that mission. At Time to Shine Today, he shares knowledge nuggets to help individuals and teams level up both in business and in life. He's a veteran of the United States Navy with multiple deployments back in the early to mid-1990s. When he is not podcasting or coaching, he loves going to the beach, paddleboarding, fitness, yoga, and volunteering and serving. His name is Scott Ferguson, and I cannot wait for you to meet him. Scott, welcome to Unyielded.
Hey, Bobby, how are you?
I am doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm so blessed that are having me on, man. Like, for reals, for reals. I love your guts. I know I say that to you all the time, but there's just certain people that, you know, are out there that are doing things for people that I just feel so blessed that they're including me in it. And you're one of them. So this is awesome.
Well, likewise. And I love the texts that we send each other. And you always surprise me. It's like random texts. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that just made my day.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's a smile on people's face, man. I mean, you know, two New Year's resolutions a year, and it's always the same thing, is take care of my temple, you know, my body, my mind, and then make someone smile every day. And if I can do that, then, you know, I that's an easy New Year's resolution that you can do, and it adds value.
That's so right.
It's awesome.
That really does. So I have to ask you, before getting to your story, why is that? I understand the first one about taking care of your temple. Why is the second one part of your New Year's resolution? Making someone smile.
Because there's something about the change in chemistry in someone's body when they smile, and the, you know, lack of a better term, like the pheromones that they put off, and just the connection that you can get as human beings on this earth. You know what I'm saying? And it's just something that I love it when people make me smile. And the thing is, you know, I know you a little bit on a personal level, and you know, I'm a big jokester. Like, I love to joke, you know, and some people don't. You know, I live by the credo, you know, don't take life too seriously. We're not making it out alive. You know what I'm saying? So it's
That's right.
Just laugh, man. I have a great time.
I always think, like, when I'm coaching, when I'm teaching, whatever it might be, whatever I'm doing, there should be laughter involved.
Yeah. You're right. When I start off coaching sessions, I laugh, you know, a lot. And I bring, because I want them to bring something to the table and I want them to be prepared and they know to do that. And then sometimes I would be like, bring a joke, you know, then tell me something, you know, and like, it's just, you know, it's cliche, but it is the best, you know, laughter is the best medicine, period.
It really is. It really is. And it's free.
Yes, absolutely.
You know? Well, cool. Well, thank you for indulging me there. So let's talk about your story a little bit, because I know that there's a ton of growth and triumph and all kinds of twists and turns in there. So,
yeah. And even since I talked to you last, my story is like taking a huge kind of swing in April this year. But I was born in 1972, so I'll be the big 5-0 next year.
Ooh.
And yeah, big time, right? And I was born in the Philippines during the Vietnam War, kind of towards the end, or maybe, yeah, towards the end of the Vietnam War. And my father was an American who knocked up a Filipino woman. And, you know, she was pregnant with me. But at that time, they were literally taking, he kind of bailed. He left.
Oh, wow.
We'll circle back to that in a minute. And he bailed and he left. And so she ended up obviously pregnant with me. And at the time, mixed breed bastard males were literally being taken from the Filipino mom and shipped to Spain because Spain controls the Philippine Islands. And the reason why they did that is, you know, I'm 6'1", I'm 250, I'm pretty well put together. And if you have other people that men that are even just average, they're still a lot bigger than a Filipino man. They're afraid at the time of personal takeover of the islands. Wow. So they ended up, my mom had me, and there was an Air Force couple that wanted to adopt somebody. They already had two kids. They wanted to adopt a child. So they literally delivered me in Quezon City in the Philippines. And I was adopted. The adoption process was started by my parents, or by Donald and Louise, who were going to start, you know, do the adoption process. And her father, Louise's father, got sick in California. So they got me a temporary passport and brought me to the United States. Her father dies. She goes schizophrenic, can't raise me. So yeah. I ended up living in an orphanage till the time I was about 3 years old. And so I remember like vividly, crazily vividly some parts of it, but other parts of it, like obviously I didn't know because my brain's not developed and stuff. But my family, who I call my mom and dad, Larry and Diane, they were looking for a child because she couldn't conceive. And so they ended up flying me to Cincinnati, Ohio. And my parents drove down from Detroit, Michigan. They adopted me and they started the process. Well, a little bit of time went by, literally like a year and a half. And my father was a Vietnam vet himself. And he was an alcoholic. A lot of them came back from there.
That's right.
Alcoholics. That's right. So my dad was an alcoholic and they couldn't, like, they went through a divorce literally a year and a half after they adopted me, couldn't raise me. So I was passed around from family member to family member. So I wasn't getting any identity or whatnot. I have Johnny and Patsy are my aunt and uncle, and they really raised me for very formative years. And I went back to live with my dad because he got clean. My dad's one of my best friends in the world, if not my best friend. We talk all the time. He's just awesome. And so I ended up kind of being kind of passed around. So I excelled in sports. But when scholarship offers came around, or, you know, I guess not even offers, I should call them inquiries. They're like, I don't think we can take a 1.8 grade point average. So my dad, Larry, was like, listen, dude, you're not living here without paying rent. So I literally went to the recruiter, signed up, went in the Navy, and literally saw the world, 36 countries. I was, you know, active part of Desert Storm in the early 1990s. And we ended up, you know, I ended up making bonds with people in the Navy, just awesome friends. But when the Navy ended, you know, I was like, I want to get out. And I went out and then I just felt like, you know, I was alone again, blew through two marriages. I just didn't really find out any identity. So I found it in making money. And I was a vulture. I preyed on other people's misfortunes with their real estate. You're losing your house. We can help you with that. Don't worry. You know, when I really could have fixed their credit and did short sale on their house and stuff like that, I didn't help them. And I was making more money than what I needed to do with. I didn't have the identity because I kind of grew up the middle class and lost everything. Didn't listen to my advisors in the 08, 09 crash.
Oh, yeah.
And then from there, I ended up sleeping on I had a short sale listed. And the people were like, we're going to Florida. And this was when I was living in Detroit. We're going to Florida. I ended up living in their house where they were gone with my dog because I had nowhere else to go. And when their deal closed, I was able to get like a little apartment and with me and my Rhodesian Ridgeback at the time, Rhodey, we went just from that place. And but when during that time, Bobby, I was handed a book called The Traveler's Gift by Andy Andrews. He's a Christian author. He's a rock star. I love him. The Traveler's Gift is about a dude that his daughter was going to get a terminal disease, lost his corporate job because of what he had, the time he had to tend to his daughter. He's like, I'm just going to end it. So he runs, he gets in his car and he runs it into a tree, right? And I'm not giving away too much, but he wakes up in Give'em Hell Harry Truman's office right before D-Day when he's making the decision. For the first decision is responsibility. The buck stops here. It was always on Harry Truman's desk and on my desk to this day. But then he goes through time and he meets like King Solomon, Anne Frank, Abraham Lincoln, Joshua Chambers, and you know, also the angel Gabriel. And it just, I looked at it, and I was like, wow, I need to change some stuff. And I started living from a place of service. And it just, that was in 2008. And that's when I started Time to Shine Today, is just a place where I could help people not have our tagline or credo or mission statement is we don't want to have anyone to feel like they have no one. So no matter where you're at in life, Time to Shine Today will put you with the right person. I mean, there's two caveats to this whole story, or like more of a backstory. When my mom gave birth, I have a twin sister, Jovi, that she kept, and she lives in Jersey. And she's a real estate agent, and I was a real estate agent. It's just so crazy. We connected in 2004.
Isn't that weird?
We're not super close, but we keep in touch. And then, you know, my lady Susan, I'm like, you know what? I don't know anything about my dad's side. I think I'm ready. I'm coming up. I'm 50 years old. I think I'm ready. So I spit one of those containers in 23andMe, came back, and I got an email. And this lady's like, who are you? And I'm like, well, I'm just on 23andMe. She's like, yeah, well, I'm your sister. I'm like, what?
Wow.
Like, yeah, my dad must have had an affair while we were he was in the Navy. And so I have like two older siblings and then two younger siblings, and I'm in the middle, the same wife. Wow. So, and come to find, I was told throughout my whole life, my dad died in Vietnam. Literally in March of this year, March or April, find this out that he lived in Pennsylvania. His last name was Van Hoosen. And like, he just died in 2019. So it's been crazy, but like finding it out later in life after I'm really in a good place, I'm blessed to have these people in my life because I'm pretty close with them now. You know, the mother knew something was going on. It wasn't the first infidelity, right? So it was like, oh, okay, whatever. So I have this family in PA. It's kind of cool, you know, from my dad's side. So that's just where, you know, I've really built up that's my story, if you will. I've really built it up to where we come from a place of service and with an open heart to reciprocity, of course, but, you know, from a place of service. That's us.
Yeah. Well, tell me about No, you don't want anyone to feel alone. Tell me more about that.
Well, there was times when me and my buddy, Johnny Walker, were best friends. And, you know,
Johnny's been friends to a lot of people.
Yes. And me and Johnny would hang out a lot, and there was just alone thoughts and things would get dark. My little brother put a gun in his mouth and killed himself in 2009. So I really don't ever go there.
No,
but there are people that do. And that's why to come on my podcast, you know, I do ask for, you know, a minimum $10 donation to the Suicide Lifeline, which, you know, gratefully you had donated to. And we don't want to have anybody, if you're sitting there with a bottle of Johnny or Jack or Jim or Jose or whatever, or even if your marriage is just kind of and you're looking to maybe meet somebody that we can put both of you together with. If you're, you know, a millionaire and you want to make the next step into another comma, you know, then we have the people that can get you there as well. So it doesn't matter. We don't want to have anyone to feel like they have no one.
Yeah.
Period. And there's always, you know, I always call them A-listers, but the A-listers, in my opinion, are the people that the top of the mountain is the bottom of another one. And we always, whether that mountain is alcoholism or, you know, abandonment, we want to get you to the top of the next one. And the next one in which we use above me is level up. And I'm always wanting to level you up. And that's just close to my heart. Because there was people, I know there's people there that I could have reached out to, Bobby, but I didn't know how. And frankly, my pride and my ego didn't want to anyways, but now it's like there's people that I can refer people to for anything now, which is a blessing.
Yeah. I think there's such a need to right now, Scott.
Yes.
It was a few weeks ago, I was back visiting my dad. He was in the Navy as well during the Korean War. He's 88.
Oh, wow.
And he still talks about it a lot too. But I was visiting him, and during that time, it was one of my great nieces who's in grade school, and it was one of her closest friends committed suicide. And it's like, Oh my God, how does this happen?
Right.
You know, it's so I love that. And with your Level Up, I know that's a big deal. It's in your newsletters. It's all about your podcast. And that's a good thing. What does leveling up mean to you?
It's funny because leveling up came from a joke. And like back when I was younger, it was Nintendo, Sega. There was no PlayStation or anything like that, right? So in the Navy, you know, I'd be like, I'm going to hit the gym. Anyone want to go train, get a lift in? And they'd say, oh, man, we're going to sit here and level up, dude. We got the next level in Madden or whatever game or Tetris or whatever. And I'm like, OK, losers, level up, you know, and I would go train. And then, you know, I just said, you know, then I would use as a joke, oh, go level up. I mean, even in everything. But then I was like, wait a minute, man, like I'm going to start using this where it actually matters. And again, the bottom of the top of a mountain is the bottom of a next one, you know, so it's like level up. Let's get to the next one, next one, next one. No matter where you're at in life, you got to progress. You know, it's like it's you regress or progress. You never stay the same. If you think you do, look at a picture when you're 25. Look at a picture when you're 50 and you look different, you know, and if you've leveled up, you're going to look like us, Bobby. No offense. You know, we take care of ourselves. Right.
Yeah.
So that's what you're going to do. If not, then you might look and feel a little bit different. And we don't want you to. We want you to. I just believe wholeheartedly that if you don't take care of things and want to progress in life, that it's sinning. And I don't mean it from a religious connotation. I mean it like from the Greek origin word of the word sin, which is sinny, which means missing the mark. So, you know, I tell my clients, dude, you're sinning today, bro, your girl or whatever. And they get what I mean because they're able for so much more, you know, and, you know, inch by inch, it's a cinch, you know, and if we can get you there level by level by level up, you know, inch by inch, it's a cinch. By the yard, it's hard. Like you just want to level up, you know, in this day and age, the younger generation is all about leveling up in big gaps. You know, there's stairs, there's inches you have to take. And that's how we talk about it. Time to Shine today.
Yeah. I love that. I love what you said there too, Scott. You don't stay the same. You either regress or you progress.
Right.
That's awesome.
Right. And like somebody that I know says, you know, better choices equals better results. Right. Yeah. You know, somebody that I know that on New Year's Eve kind of spent some time alone and really started to level up her life. Right. You know,
that's right.
Yeah. And like you, I'm a coach that I believe you even said, I think it was episode 211 that you said you line yourself up to get fired. Like you want to level the person up to where they don't need you anymore. And that's what we really want to do at Time to Shine today as well.
Yeah. I love that. See, no wonder we're so like minded. So you've been doing this a long time. You have how many episodes on your podcast now? 250?
We just dropped 250. Yeah. 250 right now.
And you passed a big milestone in listens, downloads.
Coming up on that million. Yep. God,
that's so awesome, Scott. So what are some of the best keys to leveling up, either that you've heard on the podcast or that you've done with your clients?
Let me ask you this. What is your definition of responsibility?
My definition of responsibility is owning my choices. And the consequences of those choices.
Yes. And that's our first step is taking responsibility. Mine is responsibility is the ability to respond, rooted right in the word, right? Yeah. Not react, respond. So that's what we really start off with people. The first process is really taking responsibility for everything. And then also we're big on overlapping our happiness. And what I mean by that is if I'm like, hey, Bobby, you and your hubby, come out to South Florida, my dime, we're going to take you out. We're going to go sailing. We're going to have a great time. You're going to be like, all right. You know, you two are like, all right, Fergie, man, he's going to fly us down. We're going to have an awesome time. You might even drink some Johnny Walker, whatever, right?
Yeah.
But you're going to get on a flight and go back to your beautiful house. But still, that ends. That happiness time ends. Right.
Yeah.
So that happiness is finite. It's going to end. So you have to overlap and find somebody. That's why I love to make people smile every single day because it's like overlaps my happiness and it's going to overlap into other people's lives. And the thing is with bad things, they're finite too. You know, the whole biblical thing is, you know, this too shall pass, which is very true. We just say overlap our happiness. So that's a huge part of us. And thirdly, we do it scared. You know, we fail fast if we have to. We make mistakes at lightning speed, but we're always taking action. We're doing it scared. We're moving forward And I guess the fourth thing to leveling up with us is we do it for the intention and not the attention. You know what I'm saying? We want to intend to take somebody to the next level and not make us go, oh, look at us, look at us, look at us. You know what I'm saying? I know this interview is about me, and I love talking about myself, just like we all do. And if you say you don't, you're full of crap. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, but us, it's really about intending and doing it for the intention of helping people level up.
Yeah, I love that. With the third one, when you said do it scared, that, I was interviewing someone recently. He's the head of 6 Seconds, which is an emotional intelligence organization.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's incredible. His name's Josh. And we were talking about how people feel scared. And I think that there is a misperception that at some point you no longer feel scared. And I know you coach people who are very, very, very successful. Do they still feel fear?
Hell yes. Yeah. They're like, dude, I'm afraid. And they have other words for it. And, you know, I mean, everyone has an acronym for fear. What's yours?
I don't even know.
Okay. Mine's face everything and respond. Right. Ooh. So F-E-A-R, you know, there's
love it.
False evidence, repealing rear, whatever. So I'm all about, again, responsibility.
Yeah.
And really just knowing that everything's finite. So that fear is going to end. Either it's going to end with you being a little bitch, excuse my language, you can keep that out, and not fulfilling your life and sinning, like I said, missing the mark, or you're going to face it, and you're going to respond to it, and knowing that it's going to end. Why not make it end the way that is beneficial to you? Be selfish about it, you know, be selfish, own it, get after it. So yeah, fear is, to me, is I thrive on it. Dude, I got out, you know, in front of, you know, 2,000 people this weekend, right? And I was pooping my pants, but I brought my trampoline. I was ready. I had my squad there, my team, you know, I'm getting it. I'm playing Panic at the Discos, you know, big song, and, you know, also Low Cashes. I love this life. And I just blaring it. And they gave us our own juice room and, you know, where you're getting fired up and stuff, but man, I was pooping my pants. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, but when you have people like TR and those people that are backing you, give you some cred, but you know, it doesn't matter if I'm in front of 3,000 or 30,000 people, I'm still pooping. Yeah. I'm still scared, dude, but I'm learning to thrive on it. And a lot of that comes from sending back to the discipline that I keep having a protocol in place. I don't know if you remember coming on my show, but there's a solid protocol that's how I live my life. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you check those marks, then everything's going to work out. It just does, you know, because it's been proven. And I don't invent anything. I regurgitate everything. You know, I just like, dude, it's stuff that I say I probably learned from TR or Tony Robbins or Jim Rohn or Les Miles. And they were just regurgitating stuff from like freaking Earl Nightingale, you know, all the way back to the Stoics, you know, Seneca or Marcus Aurelius.
Oh, I mean, my goodness.
Dude, all I'm doing is regurgitating, but I'm putting the Fergie fun spin on it. You know, versus, you know, being monotone and stuff. And I'm not the right horse for every course, man. You know,
that's right.
I can relate to a lot of people, but if you have like a Unleash the Power Within, those people are ready to get fired up. But if I'm also going in front of, you know, a Forbes 50 company that is like, hey, this is my personal coach, you know, I'm putting on a suit and tie. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to still have my energy, but I'm also going to relate, you know, if that makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. And it's always with authenticity and genuineness.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
That's right. Goes back to that fun that we were talking about.
Yes. Lots of it. Absolutely.
Time to shine today. Because I know that today is really important, right? It has to be in there. I know that. Why? Why did you pick that as a way to pursue your mission?
It goes back to another joke. And within my friends, there's a guy who was a frogman, Navy SEAL in the military. And, you know, we did some operations together, blah, blah. And he would, you know, you have a lot of downtime in the military, believe it or not. When you come back from deployments, you have a lot of, like, I was delivering pizzas on the side, getting my personal trainer certification, stuff like that. He started a car detailing business called Time to Shine. And I mean, I'd make fun of him. I'm like, Dino, dude, that's just funny. You're an idiot, blah, blah. And then when I was personal training people, when I was getting my life together outside the military, like, I'm like, hey, I'm going to call it Time to Shine, you know, personal fitness, which still exists to this day. I ended up selling to a kid back in 2003, and he blew it up into the Midwest, like Ohio, Michigan, Minnesota, Illinois has like little personal training studios called Time to Shine. And then I was like, you know, I'm going to have a company. I'm going to call it Time to Shine. But then I bought the URL, Time to Shine. I owned it.
Yeah.
And then I let it lapse.
No.
And then a company got it and they don't even use it. If you go to timetoshine.com, it's like a cleaning company in Colorado, right? And like literally in Aurora or something like that. And I asked them, I'm like, I'll give you 10 grand. And they're like, nope, we're keeping it. I'm like, okay. So I just was like, today, and honestly, Bobby, it's the best thing I ever have because today keeps it present.
Oh, yeah.
You feel me? So it's like, and we're going to rebrand everything Time to Shine, comma, today. That's where everything's going to be branded differently. But I love it now. I didn't love it then, but I love it now. And I mean, absolutely in love with it. And if C came back and said, here is timetoshine.com, I'm like, keep it, bro. I'll be like, there's no present tense into that.
No.
Like, we're all about now.
Yeah.
You know, we're not somebody that has a foot in the future and a foot in the past and pisses on the present. We're all about now. You feel me?
Yeah.
So we're like this, and there's no, like, you and I are making great memories for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like tomorrow when we look back, man, me and Bobby rocked the mic. Like, this is now, it's today.
It's
so that's
now.
Where kind of the Time to Shine came from. And it's cool. You know, it flows, Time to Shine, you know, and then today is where we're at. Yep.
I like how it brings it into the present.
It does. I love that.
So one of the things that strikes me is that you seem very intentional with how you go about things. And you talked about your protocols and all that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of talk around, live with intention. What does that really mean to you?
Live with intention to me means waking up every day, beating that dude in the mirror. Not beating anybody else, but beating that dude and living intentionally to live from a place of service, you know, to have an open heart to reciprocity. I want to make money. Don't get me wrong. And it's going to come no matter what, you know, if I'm providing service upon service. I mean, if you have a plant that's right behind you right there, if it's real, you know, you're breathing in what? Oxygen, you're breathing out CO2, right? The plant breathes in CO2, breathes out oxygen. So there's a give and take to everything. So I do things with the intention of helping somebody level up and better their life and be better than they were yesterday. But at the same time, I'm open to getting mine too. It doesn't have to be money. Dude, it could have been like my goddaughter last month going, Poppy. And I'm like, hey, what's up? And I'm thinking she wants $100 or, you know, whatever. And she's like, I just want to call and say, hey, to me, that's a reciprocity from the things that I do good for people. You know, so that's just, you know, it doesn't have to be monetary, but I keep my heart open. That's where a lot of people make a huge mistake of it, is doing that. And intentional also is living with the plus equal minus lifestyle that I live with, where plus I align myself with people that I can learn from. Mm-hmm. Equal, I align myself with people like you that are kind of equal and we can trade, you know, information. And then the minus is I align with people that need me. That's the life of intentionality, the plus equal minus that I live with. You know what I'm saying? Nice. And again, that's a regurgitation, but I took that regurgitation. By the way, that's one of the names of my books I'm working on right now is regurgitation. That's literally the name of it.
Really?
So yeah.
It's
basically
goodness.
I'm taking podcast interviews and you'll be in one of the pages and it's just 300 words on a page. And when I interviewed Bobby in episode 211, that's going to bug me. Let me pull it up here. I have actually episode 211 is Bobby Collar. You are a gift. Choose to thrive. That was the name of your episode, which I'm so blessed. You rocked the mic. You were awesome. But yeah, it's just everything just really is comes from like a heart of wanting to give and just living an intentional life to help others level up in myself as well.
Wow. I love that. I think when we come from that place of service, it, number one, it feels good. And number two, the universe gives back.
Right. It does. Like it goes back to the reciprocity, you know, or whatever being open. Like a lot of people will stay closed. A lot of people that I coach, you know, they've gotten to levels, whether it's on a baseball field under the big lights or it's in a big business, you know, and they're heading up, you know, 100,000 employees or, you know, they are on the big screen. You know, I've been lucky enough and blessed enough to be able to land these kind of people and, but just see, you know, the different points that, you know, I learned just, it's the plus equal minus. I learned just as much from them as they're getting from me. I don't know if I'm teaching them anything because you're a coach. You know, you don't really, as a coach to me, you're not really teaching. They bring me what's on their mind. And then I ask enough powerful questions to where the light bulb goes off above them, but I just needed to give them that nudge.
Yeah.
Period. You know?
And the questions do it so many times.
Exactly. Right.
You know, that's what I loved about the book that I shared with you, The Inner Game of Tennis.
Yes.
Which is one of the most amazing books ever.
That it was honestly a top, I'm going to give it a top 10 just because there's a lot of books that have really
meant something
to me, but it was like something that I devoured twice.
Really?
It was like, yeah, because it was the whole, you know, because it was written, I believe, in like the 70s or something like that. Right. And it was like, you know, he was talking about being okay with losing to somebody that's better than you.
Yeah.
Right. But accepting that, but also accepting that you can still be better than you were when you lost to him.
That's right.
And also that, you know, there's that A side and B side, I believe, where, you know, and you played tennis. So I never did. Like, I was the kid on the court that everyone thought was a jerk. That's like hitting it going, and the Yankees win, you know, as far as I could, right?
You but were that person.
I'm that guy. You're like that idiot. But no, it's like, but the game is amazing. And now I'm really into pickleball, by the way. Huge into pickleball. I'm in a couple leagues now. So, but it's just really just seeing yourself do it without effort, in a sense. That's what I took from it. I mean, you're still making the effort because you're still grinding out reps and everything like that. But when you're under that spotlight and you're having to do it, just get out of your own freaking way and let what you've learned happen.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's not good enough because somebody is better, then that's okay.
That's okay.
But still just continue to level up, you know, and try to be better than you were before.
Yeah. That part of the book, it reminded me way back when, oh my God, as in my early 20s, and I was playing on tennis leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on one league and it was like intermediate. I don't know which one it was, but I was crushing it. Like I was winning left and right, you know,
right.
I never really lost. And there's a coach who's from the college and he came by and he watched me play. And afterwards he came over and I thought he's going to congratulate me, you know, like, oh, you're so good. And instead he said, he goes, you're pretty good, but you're playing in the wrong level at the wrong level. He goes, why don't you go up to the advanced intermediate? And I thought, well, I can't, I don't know if I can win there. And he's like, you know, and he's like, I would admire you a lot more if you played at that level and lost.
Yes.
And oh, Scott, did I lose? Because that really bugged me at first. And then I did it. I went ahead and I went up to that and I did. I lost a lot, but I got so much better.
Right.
I'll never forget my first victory in that league. Woo, that was sweet.
A thousand times better.
Oh. Right? Yeah, because I had to work. I had to work hard for
that. Happens to me in jiu-jitsu all the time.
Yeah, you're big into that.
Yeah, so it's like, dude, I can go in and smash people in my dojo, if you want to call it that. I mean, we just call it our mats.
Yeah.
But if I put myself out at tournaments and there's Brazilians, you just come and eat me alive. You know, and I don't like, they're like, for you care? I'm like, not really, dude. I mean, you either win or you learn. And
that's
I learned so much more from losing, you know? And like here, I live in, you know, right outside here is PGA Boulevard, right? Like this is where, you know, Tiger Woods lives a mile away. You got Ernie Els, you got Rory McIlroy, all those big, you know, people that are on the tour. And you have these people that will hang out at their own courses because they're really good there, right?
Oh. But
they're afraid to step out, you know, and they're not living by that plus equal minus. They're not finding someone that's better than them to kick their butt. Right.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, I've really trained myself and I train my clients. It's like, dude, find someone that can just absolutely destroy you and learn from it, you know, and be okay with it.
Be okay
with it. It's about their attitude, you know, how it is about it. You know, I mean, it's like, what did Bobby Knight, the great basketball coach everyone hated, say? He said, you know, attitudes are contagious, is yours worth catching.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's how it is. And, you know, you just have to have that attitude.
Yeah.
And that's what I live really with, man. This is me off the mic too. You know what I'm saying? Like people are like, I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm like, I'm not a big believer that positive thinking exists. Like I understand it exists. You need to have it, but it's not going to help you conquer. Like I'm a big believer in neutral thinking, you know, where like people will say, oh, Fergie, you're so positive, but man, you just shot freaking 92 today. And I'm like, yeah, where was that positive thinking or whatever, you know? And I mean, like, I'll tell you what, you're right. Positive thinking ain't going to work every time. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what will work 100% of the time is negative thinking. You know what I'm saying? And it's true, you know? And that's someone that he just passed. He's a good friend of mine, Trevor Moed. You know, he Limitless Minds. He's somebody that I'm certified through and stuff. And, you know, he would say that, you know, his dad was the legendary Bob Moed. He's the best motivational speaker you'll never heard of, or most people have never heard of. But like, it's all about neutral thinking. And I instilled that in my life, you know, 10 years ago, yeah. You know, that we're like, listen, dude, things are going to go bad. They're going to, you're going to lose loved ones. The older I get and as connected as I stay in this world, someone dies almost every month that I know.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, you know, and, but you stay neutral to the point, and when it's time to ramp it up, then let's go. You know, and athletes like yourself and the ones that I've studied, they're the best at it. You know, they stay neutral.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, listen, dude, you know, Michael Johnson was the fastest man on this planet, you know, in 1996. But, you know, he lived by, I believe it was head down, pump arms, you know, explode, I'm a bullet. That's what he would say to himself. Head down, pump arms, explode, I'm a bullet. And it just totally took off. You know, that's just him. You simplify everything down. You can really do your best. That's what an inner game of tennis, he was telling you. Dumb it down in a sense so you can, you know, excel.
Yeah. And it's not, I think positive thinking, people mistake that for sticking your head in the sand thinking nothing bad ever happens.
Right.
That is not what it's about.
Nothing's going to happen, man. You know?
Yeah.
Nothing's going to happen. I mean, and negative things keep people from not living. You know, I mean, to me, the best quote in a movie ever was said by Andy Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption, right? Yes. You know, get busy living or get busy dying, right? Yeah. So many people die at 20 or 25, right. But they're not buried until they're 80. Feel me? So it's like there's so many people that do that. And at Time to Shine today, we make sure that it ain't going to be you.
Yeah.
It's just how it's going to be. Our coaching style is not personally, is not for everybody. But that's why I built Time to Shine today, where we have an awesome referral system that's coming up to where we can find that right personality for you and do it. For me, I don't do the crybabies. I don't do those people. And I'm not saying that in a negative connotation. I'm saying it as in like, listen, my style, I can't adapt to you. Like I don't want to, because this is who I am. I'm not going to be authentic when I'm coaching you. Now, I'm empathetic as hell.
Yeah.
But at the same time, okay, I heard what you say. Now, what are we going to do?
That's right.
You know,
what's the action?
Perfectly way to say it. You know, what is the action?
Love it.
I'm stealing it. Regurgitating.
Go right ahead.
Oh, by the way, that book, that's what I was getting at. Every person I've interviewed is getting their own chapter in regurgitation. And I'm basically writing what I feel I heard in the interview. You know, and there'll be more and more than 25 interviews in each book. So it'll be Regurgitation Volume 1 through whatever, you know, I'm at 250 interviews. Not 250, I'm at 221 on the interviews, because the rest of them were solo podcasts before that, when I was getting my feet wet. But yeah, just, you know, getting out there and writing 300 words. You know, it's just basically a blog post of my thoughts, but it's just going to be in print for people to see the regurgitation out there.
So when's the first one coming out?
I'm finishing up my I've already written 29 or 30. I don't want to look it up, but it's like 29 or 30. And that's all in my Living Writer app, you know, or online, what I'm writing. But, you know, my business parable being like finished up now, and that should be out by the March, April-ish on digital. And then we're going to take it to print. And I have some big, big hitters that are really helping me with that. Like Bob Berg, he wrote The Go-Giver. You know, like I've had feedback from like Robin Sharma, you know, the monk who sold his Ferrari, Chris Widener, like Alan Stein wrote Raise Your Game, Atomic Habits.
Ooh, I love that one.
Like those guys, I've all, like I sent them like stuff like, dude, you got something. So it's just a parable about a kid. They're a guy that, you know, a real estate agent losing a huge deal, wants to quit the business. His broker is like a millennial, kind of douchey, but he's like, listen, we don't want you to quit. And my dad said, if you ever want to quit, here's five people you need to talk to. And so he hands me the book with the five people. And then the hero meets those five people and just kind of goes through and learns some valuable lessons.
Yeah. That's awesome. You got so much stuff going on. So, and that's good. That's a good thing. Yeah. So where can people find you and learn more and benefit from what you do?
I tell people, just if you put in Time to Shine today, you're going to find us everywhere. But like, we're really podcast driven. Our website's really junk because like, it's just really, I built it for a podcast. But I told you off mic that we're really into building We have a huge subscriber base. If you're listening out there with over 200,000 subscribers, we don't just mass email you. We'll send out a mass email and see if you're interested in a certain product or certain something that's going to help you level up your health, wealth, or mindset. But, you know, that's the only time you'll hear about it. You'll be put on a separate list. We're very, very intimate with our list and what we put out. So if you just go to timetoshinetoday.com/podcast, and you can just opt into that podcast episodes, which will then opt you into getting emails for other things. Like, we just had a mountain bike that was delivered. It was, you know, this is an awesome story. $2,500 mountain bike. I'm sorry, $5,000 mountain bike. It's an Ace Scott or something like that. Ooh. And so I was like, okay. And I got it. And they came and put it together for me. And like, this is a gift to you, you know, because they know that I can sell it. So I put out an email that said, you know, have an Ace Scott mountain bike. I'm doing a product review on it. And now I have a Specialized mountain bike, Specialized, and I ride it. It's more of a touring bike, and I like to ride it to the beach and stuff. I'm not a trail guy. So I went to the trails, found a mountain biker, and said, you, will you put this GoPro on and ride it? So they rode it, you know, and I did an awesome review, and I sold like 42 bikes. And the money that Ace Scott paid me to do it, it was worth my time. But people got these bikes at $2,000 a piece because they're subscribed to my list. Right.
That's
for 24 hours. I'm like, listen, you know, we send out an initial email to 200,000 people. Like, listen, I have a great deal coming. Are you interested? They opt into the interest. And then we do the product review and they can see the video. And then like, listen, there's a countdown timer. So you got 24 hours to buy this at $2,000. Wow. You know, so we get a lot of like sick stuff. Like, I'm looking at the Atlantic Ocean right now, but I also have a room over here full of swag the company sent me that I'm able to get out to my list.
Yeah.
At really cheap prices, you know, but it's for just limited time. So I'm very intimate. Long-winded answer for you, but I'm very intimate with my subscribers. So if you write me, you're going to get me. If you want to call me, it's area code 561-440-3830. And you will get a voicemail or me personally, depending on what time of the day it is, and or a text. We will text you back.
Yeah. I love that. You're so accessible. So
yay.
One final question, if you got a minute.
Absolutely.
All right. If you could go back, I don't know, 25 years. Yeah. Half your life.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to your younger self 25 years ago?
I've probably given a lot of it today.
Yeah.
But from 25 years ago, which would make me about 25, I would be like, dude, because there's a lot of hurt stuff in my past, right? Mm-hmm. And this is kind of like the question I got in that DeLorean with Marty McFly with you in, right? Yeah. Basically, I would be like, listen, you know what? Learn from your past, don't live it. That's what I would have told myself then. And that, you know, everything's finite, and that every day do something for yourself that's going to level up your health, your wealth, and your mindset. You do those three things, and health is easy. Get on a trampoline in the morning for 60 seconds. Get the stuff moving throughout your body, you know. Wealth, you know, like, figure out a savings program, you know. Mm-hmm. Mindset, read a freaking book. It's easy to do. And that's what I would tell my younger self, is it's easy is if you stay consistent.
That's right.
You know, and like, you know, we said that, you know, and live with laughter, laugh all the freaking time. You know, I say it again, but like, you know, don't take life too seriously. You'll never make it out alive. Mm-hmm. And I heard that quote in a movie with Ryan Reynolds before he was Ryan Reynolds, you know, like when he was just, it was called Van Wilder. And it was just the craziest movie. And it was funny. It was grotesque. And it was just, I was young at the time, thought it was funny, but that quote stuck with me, you know?
Well, there's a lot of truth in it, you know?
It is, you know?
No.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow. Well, Scott, thank you so much. I know how busy you are. This has been a pleasure talking with you. And yeah, just thanks for coming on and sharing your wisdom.
I love your guts, man, for reals. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties. You know me, I'm always on point, and this is just like going to bother me all night. So, and I gave Donnie the day off, and he's working now. So,
oh, man. Well, don't worry about it at all.
Awesome.
Talking with Scott is always like a shot of espresso. Here are my three insights for thriving. Number one, you never stay the same. You are either progressing or you are regressing. I've heard it said this way before. You are either growing or you're slowly dying. Here's something to try. At the end of each day, as you're brushing your teeth for the final time before heading off to bed, look in the mirror and honestly answer this question. How did I grow today? Number two. I loved his advice to his former self. Learn from your past, but don't live in your past. And finally, number three, when he was talking about competing, he said that he doesn't mind facing better or tougher competitors because he is either winning or he is learning. I think that's a powerful notion because I think that being afraid to lose is one of the things that can keep us in a game that is too small for our potential. Thanks so much for tuning in and for listening. And for all of you who have been so kind as to leave us a review and rating, I'm immensely grateful. It's a great way to help us spread the message that we can all thrive no matter what.